Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He say, this I have told you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Say this thing I write unto you in John, that your joy might be full. Now we thank you for not only that, he said, peace I give with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give, I give I unto you.
Amen.
Let's say in the name of the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled, not let it be afraid.
Amen.
Said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Yes,
I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Yes,
I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Father, we thank you for the word of promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He that watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
Blessed be that glorious name.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, the Bible says that, you know that the numbers in the Bible are important, you know. Many things in the Bible have number associated with it. So, you know, we know that number 3 is very significant in many ways. Even in ordinary life, you know, there must be 3 lines to produce a geometrical figure. We know that even in day-to-day living. There must be 3 surfaces to form a solid. A cube, for example, has 3 dimensions. And calculating the volume of a cube involves multiplying, you know, all the sides are equal, right?
Yeah.
Multiplying the size, length, by itself 3 times, right?
Yes.
Which is what they define as a number raised to the power of 3. Can you see that cube thing? So 3 is the number of a cube, really, or solid. It signifies that which is solid, complete, and entire. There are 3 great divisions in time, past, present, and future. There are 3 persons in grammar. I, personal pronoun, you, second pronoun, and they, expressing the relationship between, relationship of mankind. And lastly, also, there are 3 kingdoms in which matter is classified. Mineral, vegetable, and animal. Above all this, God's 3 great attributes are omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence.
Yes.
Even more, about our Lord Jesus Christ, the number 3 is associated with the triunity of God. We're not talking about Trinity, we're talking about the triunity, not Trinity, there's no Trinity. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hidden version of the truth, you know, a polluted version of the truth. Meaning, the Godhead, meaning Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know in the book of John, there are 3 that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and these 3 are one. And there are 3 that bear witness upon the earth, the blood, the water, and the, you know, the body. Whether these 3, they agree in one. Praise the Lord Jesus. And even more so, so we see that, 3, therefore, we can say, may be said to be the number of deity or divine perfection. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just get a general something about the number 3 to come to this subject here. Our Lord Jesus Christ holds 3 other offices in succession. What are they? Office of the prophet, priest, and king. Praise the Lord. So this morning, Christ, prophet, priest, and king. That's the subject. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Christ, prophet, priest, and king. The Lord's prophetic work extended from creation to his ascension. His priestly work extends from his ascension to the rapture of the church. And his kingly work from his revelation, meaning his physical appearance, at the close of the Great Tribulation and so forth. So I want to talk about each of those works of Christ, the 3 offices, you know. So now let's talk about his prophetic work. We read in Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So I read that to come to this sentence here. So why Christ as a prophet for so many things before his incarnation? That's why I read that, because he is God, right?
Yes.
He spoke by the prophets, right?
Yes.
So that's right. So he spoke in Moses, he spoke in all the prophets, you know, and so on, that, you know. So we can say that, why Christ as a prophet foretold many things before his incarnation. It was not until after his incarnation that he entered fully into his prophetic office. Indeed, we are told in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise the Lord. His prophetic office. So he was initially the prophet foretold by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Talking about the office of another office of the work of Christ, right? Prophet, priest, and king, right? So then Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise unto you a prophet from the midst of thee, all thy brethren like unto me. He be a prophet, right? And unto him ye shall act. And the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of Apostle Peter, followed the miracle at the beautiful gate of the temple in Acts 3. And people were wondering, the Jews were wondering, this man was never working 40 years. Where Apostle Paul said, if I am good, I have not. What I have given to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And to the amazement of all the people, man began to walk, leaping and jumping and so on, crawled them to the Solomon's porch in the temple and so forth. Then Peter now said them, addressing these people, the Jews, in Acts 3:22. For Moses, confirming what Moses said in Deuteronomy 18:15. For Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, see, the office of the Christ, the office of the prophet, right, shall be destroyed from among the people, just like Moses prophesied, the Holy Ghost brought that prophecy back. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindred of the heart be blessed. Unto you, first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost has to find that the prophet that Moses talked about was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm reading out here. So in his office as a prophet, right? Even remember in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. We all know that story and so on. Let me read certain things from that. John chapter 4 verse 19. The woman, being the woman of Samaria, said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Talking about the office of a prophet, right? As we know the story, and the Lord, at the middle of the day, at the well that Asaika, the parcel of land that Jacob gave to Joseph, and the Lord being weary, according to the scripture in that chapter, just paraphrasing now, of his journey, disciples have gone to go and buy meat and so forth. And the woman came to the well, came to the well and so on, and the Lord said, give me to drink. The one said, how is it that you being a Jew? ask me a Samaria to give you water. Knowing that we have nothing, no dealings at all and so forth. The Lord said, if you know the gift of God, and he that says to you, give me to drink, you have asked of him, that giving you water, that the everlasting life and so on. Where will you get the water from, since you have nothing to draw from the well, and the well is deep? See, all those conversations went there and so on. Where? The Lord now tell you, the query goes on and so on, you know the story. And the Lord said, okay, go get your husband, I want to know, go and get your husband and so forth. I have no husband. The Lord said, I know that. You have had five before, and the one you are living on is the sixth one. Then this woman asked a thing. The woman of Samaria said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Praise the Lord. And I know, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. That means that the Messiah, when he comes, will be a prophet. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. He will tell us all things in his office as a prophet. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you, verse 26, I that speak unto you, I am he. The woman then left her water pot, well-known story, right, and went away into the city, and they said to the men, come, see a man, which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Just about 43. Now after 2 days, the Lord tarried 2 days after that, 3 days after 2 days, tarried with them. He departed then and went into Galilee. Now go to the next verse, 44. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Amen? Suggesting that, suggesting his prophetic role. Praise the Lord. That's what he said. Praise the Lord. The office of the prophet. Christ, prophet, priest, and king. As a prophet, Christ foretold his death and resurrection many times during his earthly work, right here. Told them. John 2, I believe it is, as water is turning of water into wine. Show us a sign. I will not show you a sign or anything like that, I will show you what the sign of Jonah the prophet, and so on. Put out this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. In so many times, by which he talked of the temple of his body, and so on. So all about the threat is what keep telling them. Telling them what's going to happen. That's why we don't start talking about the rapture, And throughout his ministry, he continues to tell the thing and so on like that, I won't say the kind of Jonas and so on like that, And he told them many, many times and so that he's going to rise from the dead. So we too are talking about what he has planned for this is the rapture of his church. Anyway, his early ministry and so on. And his use of parables, which are very short, simple stories that illustrate either a moral or spiritual truth was full of prophetic statements, The parable of the Matthew 25, parable of the 10 virgins, they are all prophetic, right? Talking about the marriage supper and so on, the coming of the Lord and so on, So they are all prophetic. Or the king making a marriage for his son. So parable short, talking about either moral issue or even prophetic issue and so on. They are all prophetic, moral or spiritual, they are all prophetic and so on. At the moment of the prophet. And we know in Matthew, Olivet discourse, in Matthew 24, he outlined events that should come to pass from the time of his ascension until his return. See? Christ the prophet, right? But his crowning work as a prophet was his revelation to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. Wherein he foretold in chronological order. I want to kind of paraphrase them. We talk about that all the time here. The history of the church, or the Christian church, using the conditions of seven selected churches as they then existed in Asia Minor. There are many churches in Asia Minor, but just pick seven of them, right? You talk about, he didn't pick all the churches, but just seven of them like that, and so like that, So anyway, and So that's what it is, you know, the issue of the church and so on like that, you know, using those churches as as a pattern of what happened to his church, you know, prophetically speaking and so on. He talked about his descent at the end of the church age from heaven to earth atmosphere to call up his ready saints to meet him in the air. Talking about the captain of his prophecy and so on, and that office in the book of Revelation. Then he talked about the awful character of the Great Tribulation period. Then he talked about the darkening of the sun and the moon. He talked about prophesying about the great and terrible day of the Lord. He went on to talk about the battle of Armageddon. He went to talk about the binding of Satan for 1,000 years. Then he prophesied of 1,000-year millennium. He went on to prophesy the great white throne judgment, all the book of Revelation and so forth. You know, that in the captain of his prophecy and so forth. He went on to talk about the prophecy of the renovation of the earth by fire. He went on to finish it off, the new heaven, the new heart, and new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. In fact, at the book of Revelation, it begins, "Say, blessed are they that hear the word of this prophet, you know, and, hear them, and they do the things which are written there in the name." Yeah, it's a prophecy, that's the captain of his prophecy, right? You know, closing the book up and so on. His office as a prophet. He closes it up, the book of Revelation and so on, you know. Anyway, so we can talk so much, that's just in a nutshell, his office as a prophet and so forth. And let's talk about his priestly work, right? Talk about his prophet, Christ, prophet, priest, and king, right? How about his priestly work? Christ's present work is that of the high priest, of which the Old Testament high priesthood was an antitype, you know? You see, you always say it, and it is true. And the Old Testament is the new concealed, right? And the new is the old revealed. Praise the Lord. So, in his priestly work, we have in the Old Testament the priesthood, right? And then, you know, so among the Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies of the tabernacle, meaning the tabernacle of witness and the temple they have, temple sacrifices, what they call the Day of Atonement, right? On that day, what happened? The high priest entered into the most holy place, you know, the different section of the temple and so on. Anyway, enter into the most holy place once a year to present the blood of the sacrifice and make intercession for the sins of the people, both his own sin and then that of the people, right? These sacrifices and ceremonies did not make the offerers perfect at all, or they would not have ceased to be offered. They were but shadows or types of things to come, as the scripture told us in Hebrews 10:1. I read a couple of verses from Hebrews 10:1. So, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Meaning, you know, why would they not, stop offering them? Simply because that the worshippers once purged should have no more remembrance of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance of sin made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Now we see that now. So telling us as Christians, we ought not to have remembrance of sins. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. With the Lamb of God, you know, and so on, that come and so on. So we ought not to, but having time to time, we remind even God's children, accusing them of sin, and just not to be still, really, you know. Anyway, the sphere of Christ's priestly ministry is heaven, not here on earth at all. Not here on earth. For example, he never appeared as a priest in the temple of Jerusalem, not one time as a priest. He only went there to teach, but never to offer sacrifices or burnt incense. Never. So the sphere of his priesthood is in heaven. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see that. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, see that, that is passed into the heaven, the sphere of his priest which is in heaven, right? Praise God, not on earth. Passed into the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or if you like, our confession, if you want. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Christ, our high priest, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, enter into the Holy of Holies of the heavenly tabernacle with his own blood, once and for all. Hebrews 9:24 tell us much. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but enter into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Praise the Lord. Remember, after the resurrection, and Mary Magdalene, and some of that, and I saw him, when he came back again, she came back to the sepulchre and so forth. The Lord disgracing himself like a gardener, right? And Mary Magdalene said, oh, my Magna, if you know where they have laid my Lord, show it to me. I just said, come and take him. Can you carry him? Can you carry him, Mary Magdalene? Come and show me so I can take him. Take him to be a gardener. He do all kinds of things. He can disgrace himself. Praise the Lord. On the way to Emmaus, the same day, he disgraced himself to the Cleopas and the other brother, right? Disgraced himself. So what he said, not he, Mary! Oh man, when he heard that word, not he was the Lord. Rabboni, meaning master. Start to grab him, touch me now. For I've not gone to my father yet, eh? Praise the Lord. I haven't gone there at all. You don't touch me now. But we know, a couple of hours later, three other women who are also come to the sepulchre and so forth. Now the Bible says that now they grab his feet, right? After the what happened? A couple of hours ago, he told me that you can't touch me, right? I haven't gone to my father in heaven, right? So but now a couple of hours later, so this is other we were able to touch his feet and so on. Go tell my disciples. I'm waiting for his death. I said before, meet me in Galilee. What happened? They treat the interval that he thought to be the Magdalene. After this, when he talks to this other woman, he has gone to heaven and come back, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Now the Bible is saying here, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, Hebrews 9:24. Not yet that he should after himself offer, not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. That's the Old Testament, right? Now, for them, if they were to do that, must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. See, but now, once in the end of the world, meaning that the end of the Old Testament age, or if you like, the end of the age, right? Meaning the Old Testament era, right? Has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself? So we notice that in Hebrews 10:11, it says this, but toward the end, every high priest, meaning Old Testament priest, right? Standeth daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. Verse 12 says, but This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14 towards the end says this, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sacrificed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to bring a few points here. So, in the Old Testament, tabernacle and so forth, there is no provision for sitting down at all for those priests and so on. Why? See? So there was no provision in the Old Testament tabernacle made for sitting down. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle or temple. Why? For there was no time for sitting down at all. And sacrifices were constantly being offered. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, offered the sacrifice of himself once and for all. What happened? And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. The point I'm trying to bring out here by the grace of God is this. Attention has been called to the circumstances that in Acts chapter 7, when they stoned him and so on, he saw Christ standing. What did he do? So people have been questioning that. He saw Christ standing instead of sitting at the right hand of God. Then that was in Acts 7:55. But he, meaning Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Verse 66. And said, behold, I see the heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So people have been trying to understand what that feeling means. Well, what can we say about that? Why some see, no significance in this thing, in this scenery, it will not seem inappropriate to the character of our Lord Jesus Christ for him to rise momentarily from his seat of glory to honor and greet the first martyr of his church. Amen. Praise the Lord. It won't be inappropriate, the first martyr of his church and so on. So Stephen had been tried by a human court and found guilty, right? Christ, as Stephen's advocate, stands as a witness in heaven's court, reversing the sentence and fulfilling the promise that he made to his disciples back in Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Okay. So anyway, the digression there, people will get confused and so on. In one place he was standing, in one place he was sitting, but we just feel that as the first matter of his church, it will be appropriate in the character of Christ to momentarily stand up and greet his first matter for his church. Praise the Lord. Well, we just leave it like that. We're not dogmatic about that. We also observe something else, that Stephen used the term Son of Man. He said Son of Man, right? As we know in the Bible, that term has never been used in any other instance in the New Testament except by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That was Son of Man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ used that term in the New Testament. We know the use is significant. For example, Prophet Daniel stated in his vision, Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So we know, even from prophecy and so, the term Son of Man apolitically speaks of Christ's triumphant over all his enemies. As the prophecy declared, the Swiss armies of Israel, David and so on, in Psalm 110, the first verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, see thou at my right hand, until I make that enemy thy footstool. Praise the Lord. Eh? So we see right there, you know. So, and just another viewpoint, really, you know. We just love the scripture, we love the Bible, the harmony of the scriptures in it. Praise the Lord. Because we are God's children, and we love His word, every part of it, and so forth. So, let's move forward and so on. Even, we cannot even talk of His presence to work as being twofold too, a mediator and an advocate. Amen? Even more of His work at this time, before we get to the last, we're talking about Christ, prophet, priest, and king, right? We're not talking about His priesthood right now. He's in heaven, not on earth. He never offered a single sacrifice. You know, and He didn't say, sacrifice and offering, we are not offered, right? Praise the Lord. But the body, has not prepared me. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so let's see, before we go to the kingly, you know, office of the Lord, even now also, you know, that's a twofold, you know, what that is doing. Mediator and advocate. Let's talk about that a little bit. As a mediator, the word of God tells us that the will of God was that all men might be saved. A scripture we read here every Wednesday. And to that end, He had appointed a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. That is 1 Timothy 2:4. Who, meaning God our Savior, we have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Praise the Lord. His work as a mediator. Now, to be a mediator for men, both believers, it's a mediator for both believers and unbelievers. That's right, between God and men, right? That's taking believers and unbelievers, right? So anyway, so to be the mediator for men, both believers and unbelievers, Christ had to become a man to mediate between God and man. For example, we know only a man can mediate between two men. A man cannot mediate between man and a beast, for example. Why? Because you don't have the same nature, right? You see that the nature of a man, the nature of a beast. So how can you mediate between a man and a beast? So anyway, so the Son of God, could not mediate between God and man until He Himself became the divine man. Amen? That's right. That is, had the nature of both God and the nature of man. He was 100% man and 100% God. Praise the Lord. God designed that way. And so it was necessary then for the Son of God to become a man, that He might mediate between God and man. So what happened then? When He ascended, He took up His manhood with Him. Amen? You know? With Him. And He is now in heaven, the man Christ Jesus, as we are told in 1 Timothy 2:5. Amen? After all, He took that same body, took back to heaven, His manhood and so on. That's why I could tell them when He appeared. Oh, we have seen the Lord, He told Thomas. We have seen the Lord and so on. Oh no, until I see Him, I can put my hand in the print of the nail, I can put my hand in the finger. I won't believe, Thomas said. 8 days later, maybe for Thomas' sake alone, He made sure that Thomas was there among them. He appeared again. Praise the Lord. Thomas, now put your hand and so on in the print of my hand. And even He told them, behold me, a spirit has no flesh and it has no bone as in. You know, so put your hand there. Oh, the Lord my God, amen?
Amen.
Of course, become a powerful believer. Actually, legend had it that he went to preach in India, and that's why they killed him, saw him through, and so forth. Praise the Lord. I'm saying, He took that body to heaven, the manhood body, took it to heaven. Praise the Lord. Glorify it though. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Even when He come back to visit the Jews and so forth, the rapture takes place and so forth, all the events that take place and He come back typically the second time. Bible says then at that time, He will show Himself to His brethren, right? you know, when they appear, they will show him, right? That's right. Those cats are still there. Glorify more, you know. Praise the Lord. So he threw that man into heaven and so on. So he said, man Christ Jesus, even in heaven, God and man, he's all of it. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let's talk about another second phase of this office. So he was our mediator, both for the unbeliever and the believer, the mediator for men, God and men and so on like that, you know. How about advocate? Yeah, First John 2:1. My little children, talking to Christians now, right? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise the Lord. So this scripture implies what that the Lord Jesus Christ is the advocate for the righteous only, not for the unbeliever. No. Praise the Lord. I tell you what. You know, advocate for the righteous. For the epistle we just read now, say my little children talking to Christians, right? You know, and to those talking to the Christian, and to those who were entitled to call God Father, right? Who are those? We had in John chapter, very first chapter, I will say, unto those that believe on him, gave him power to be the sons of God, right? Authority, right? So that's people who are qualified to call him Father. Those who believe on his name, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, that's who is a very an advocate for, as we see here in the Bible and so on. Anyway, the sinner needs not an advocate, but a savior. Eh?
Amen.
Look at naturally. So a man who has been condemned, right? And for whatever sin he committed, right? And the judge has given the verdict, execution will take place and so forth. So everything is already done, right? So what advocate does he need? Praise the Lord. What they need is a pardon. The criminal needs only a pardon. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's not an advocate for the sinner. It's only for the righteous. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget, the Bible says, they that believe not in him are condemned already, right? So what is a condemned man? No? What advocate does he need? What he needs is a pardon. Praise the Lord. So he is only an advocate for the righteous, not for the sinner, you know, who is already condemned for not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm talking about is the Bible distinctly states in John 3:18, he that believeth not is condemned already. And that in John 3:36, the wrath of God abideth on that person, right? So what the sinner needs to do, it's not to ask Jesus for interceding for him, but to accept the finished work of Christ on the cross on his behalf. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Colossians 1:14. So the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter 2:24. So says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead unto sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed.
Amen.
And we talk in Revelation 1:5, him that loved us, towards the end of that, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And if the Lord Jesus is our advocate, then what is he our advocate for? What is he our advocate for? You know, I'm telling that, you know. Well, definitely, not for sin, you know, for in the light of the future, in the light of the thing I just read now, the sin was done, forgiven in the atonement, right? So what is he advocating for? See? So, he is our advocate for the sins we commit since we became Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All the things we committed before we became Christians was atoned for on the cross. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, he's an advocate for us for anything we committed after being a Christian. See? So, He is our advocate for the sin we commit since we became a Christian. That is why 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, this sin right unto you, that he sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord says that remission and forgiveness of sins be preached to all nations in this, right? That's what one of his last words, right? That's remission. There is a difference. Remission and forgiveness. They're not the same thing. Our sins were remitted. Anything we ever committed before Christianity were wiped out. They're not in God's book at all. Don't you remember it? Even Isaiah said, prophesy, their sins and their iniquity I will remember no more.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, but when we call Christian, we see make mistakes, amen? We see misses. Praise the Lord. He will tell us, if you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And he will make him a liar. Praise, talking to Christians, right? First John, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That is what he's advocating for. Anything we commit. Do we now say because that advocate, we go and be sinning?
Mm-hmm.
No more than we say that, oh, let grace abound. Let us have grace abound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So this thing has been said to you, how many people will torment Christians and so accuse you of this and that and so not so. Being born again, I mean, the sin nature has been taken away from us. But that himself, he knows, you know, that also when he misses it, and we just ask for forgiveness, you know, then forgive us, amen, as our advocate. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the sinner who is an unbeliever, he cannot ask for advocate. So what he needs is a savior. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So that's, so talking about this mediator and so on and that, you know, and then you know, our advocate and so on and that, you know. So let's see now. And so that's it. We can even put more illustration here to what I'm talking about here. There's a vast difference between a sinner's sin and a believer's sin. So where a sinner is just a perpetual sinner, right? So, and there's a difference between that of a unbeliever and a sin that a believer commits. What is the difference? But God doesn't look with favor, I mean, with any kind of sin, whether it's unbelieving or believers or nothing like that, you know. So God does not, I mean, God hates both alike. But, you know, for the believer, it may be even most severe one because he's sinning in the light, I mean, in the way they have greater light, right? But thank God for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and being our advocate. Let's see this way. If a man has a servant, right, and he has a son, and you know, he gives them a task to do, and he becomes sloppy, he becomes lazy, and he has them to go and redo it, and he still gets sloppy and refuse to do it, and so on and that, you know. Where the servant, they can fire the servant, right, and terminate him and say, get out of here, you know, get out of my house. For his son, they can chastise him. He can cut his allowances. He can punish him anywhere he has, but he can't throw him out of his house. You know? Praise the Lord. In the parable of the prodigal son, we saw that, right? Who took all of his own part of inheritance and so forth, and went and lived a, you know, an ungodly life and so on like that, you know. So, and the Lord told us and so on like that, you know. So anyway, after he has wasted all the living and so on, eating with pigs and so on like that, you know, most people give it to him and so on. One day, maybe by God's grace and so on. How many of my servants, my father's servants, have more bread to eat than to spare? I should now die and so on. I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against you and have just make me one of your higher servants, and so on, that you know. But we know what happened in that story, you know, that story and so on. Well, the father never forgot him, you know. He would not forgot him and so as he was coming afar off. You know what the story happened? So he received him and so on like that. And anyway, so we see. So that's an interesting. So for he can't throw away his son. So, you know. So that's another way to illustrate this kind of thing. You know, the sinner, I mean, who is not a son. And then, I mean, you know, I mean, the servant is not his son. You know, and the man, I mean, the son who is, you know, who belongs to the house and so on. You know, anyway. So we see that sonship. Make it savor. I mean, He doesn't make us have to go and commit sin. No, not really. So he simply gives us the blessed privilege of having an advocate. See, that, you know, that's what he does to us, you know. And since it is inevitable that we will make it or we miss it once in a time, like 1 John 1:8-10 says, and it's better, you know, I mean, there's no comparison between a Christian sin and the Lord, the soul which is lost in it. Praise the Lord. So just, let's get to this kingly, wrap up with this kingly work. Give you number 3 and so on, you know, the number of perfection, number of deity and so on, even in nature, in the creation of God, is right here. Anyway, let's talk about this kingly work and finish with that. Christ, prophet, priest and king. Now, Christ's crucial work is that of a king, of king right here. His high priestly work will be followed by the following prophetic events. This is how his priestly work will finish and so on. Number one, the rapture of the first fruits, whereby he descends from heaven to meet his espoused bride in the air. And the scripture we are never tired of reading, no more that the Lord was tired of predicting the Son of Man shall be delivered to the sinners and so forth, and they will kill him. They thought he will rise from the dead and so on. He said it throughout his ministry. So the church elect can never stop talking about the blessed hope. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 4:16. I want to read that. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's the event and so on, that, you know. So so his priestly work will be followed with these following events. In summary, that's one of them, the first of them really. He will then accompany his bride back to heaven. When he comes up in the air, I mean, accompany her back to heaven and take his place upon his judgment seat, where he will judge the saints and reward them according to the works. So before, at the end of his priestly work, rapture takes place. He grabs up in the heaven and so forth. Then he enters to the judgment seat. Not the white throne judgment. Now I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 11, I think I forgot about it. Anyway, I think about 15 or so, India. And the nations were angry. And the wrath is come. I think I missed the verse here, but it's Revelation 11. The last is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And now I am going to this verse. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, yes. Judgment seat of Christ. That's the only scripture we know by the Genesis of Christ. No. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive. That's the Christians, right? May receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, talking to Christians, right? Coming to the judgment seat, right? He's not talking about the unbelievers here. So anyway, now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because he shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has based. Thereupon, you shall receive a reward. That judgment seat of Christ for Christians is the place of giving reward. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. That's not the white throne judgment. No. No. In fact, in the white throne judgment, by which we shall judge angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
We will judge the world, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are seated with him. He that overcometh, you know, shall sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne, right?
Yes.
We don't know all of it, but we know this little one he showed us, amen? How the food, we don't know, but we just know the one he has told us, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So we say, the white throne judgment is not for the child of God. If any man walk, verse 15, if any man's work shall be born, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. What do you mean that, you know, so what we be praying, whatever we do for Christ, let us do with the right motive, amen?
Amen.
If I pray that I don't add more to my dead works, amen? I want to be that we stand the fire of God. It's not a judgment to know, no, I don't want to lose the reward, amen? And for the Paul was very sure, I finished my course and so forth. A crown of righteousness awaiting me in heaven, right? He said, praise the Lord. He said, not only me, but all that love is appearing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, do not a judgment of condemnation. It is a very solemn event, really, like what I'm talking about. Solemn event. Can you imagine all our labor on her? See? There are the many who have labored for Christ with wrong motives. And alas, their works will be found there to be hate, wood, and stubble. These will be burned by the revealing fire of judgment, and their reward will be lost. These people are saved, yes, yet after by fire. The labors of others, however, will be found to be gold, silver, precious stones, and they will receive a full reward. Praise the Lord. May that be our Lord in Jesus' name. Everything we do, we go by prayer. Always see the Lord before even minister anything. It's always in prayer, maybe all night long, amen. Praise the Lord. The man of all, look as much as I eat and so forth. He has been praying all night on the mountain and so forth. Before he came, there was a long list of people waiting to come and minister to him and so on. Waiting for him to come and minister, right? Anyway, so always let us put everything into prayer. Church, our motive. I'm going to do this for the Lord. What is my motive? Praise the Lord. Must be to exalt the Lord. You know? Apostle Paul even say, what are the prophets? Unless I come to you by revelation, or by prophecy, or by doctrine. Amen? Make sure you excel in edifying the saints. Amen? Above all, exalting Christ. That should be our motive in all we say and do. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, following the giving of rewards, we are talking about following the priesthood and so on, the kinghood, right? Following the giving of reward to the saints, the Lord will present the church to himself. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. So what happened that we may be following the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, 6 through, so I begin to wrap up this one here, you know, Revelation 19, 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of sin. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true saints of God. Amen. The bride is not invited. It's part, you know, there are attendants, amen. Praise the Lord. So the bride is not called. It's already, he is the bride, right? Praise the Lord. So that's why he says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride is not called. He is the bride, right? There are attendants. Psalm 45 even tells us a lot of things prophetically. Praise the Lord. It's not to go to that place. Now, okay, then Christ, accompanied by the armies of heaven, will descend to the earth, and the battle of Armageddon will be fought. Revelation 19 tells us the rest of the verses and so on. Thereafter, he will sit upon the throne of his glory and judge the nations, as we are told in Matthew 25, second part of the parable and so forth. You know, the goat nations and the sheep nations and so on. That's, you know, 25 of Matthew, 31 to 45 verses and so on. After that, the millennium kingdom will be set up. As it's closed, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit. There will be a great apostasy following that, you know, and the fire will descend from heaven and destroy the wicked. Finishing up, the heaven and the earth will then be renovated by fire, and the new heaven and earth will appear, upon which shall be placed righteous nations taken from the old earth, over which Christ shall reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. I mean, just going through the scripture and so on, one of his offices and so forth, Christ, prophet, priest, and king. And he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. So reign with his saints and so forth. Father, we thank you this morning. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, always revealing your word to us. This word of God is a parable to others, but to us, O Lord God, he speaks to us mouth to mouth the things which kings and prophets even thought they ought to know. He know it. Angels even desire to look into these things. Father, we thank you, Lord. You have predestinated us to have understood this thing and to know them. Say, happy are ye if you know these things. Amen. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Showing all the road map and so forth, and the things to come and so forth. You know, to strengthen our faith. We call it the blessed hope. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Want us to really, oh Lord God, you know, do things with the right motive, knowing that the Bible says that a treasure waiting for us in heaven. Where on this earth, you know, thieves can come, robbers can come, but our treasure in heaven, the Bible says, where there's no moth or anything can touch it and so on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we go this morning, Lord God, with this just to Lord God exhortation, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, as our advocate and you know, mediator and advocate and so forth. I want to thank you. And we are walking bold. We are walking surely. I think they walk here in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for all you are doing for us as you close the age. We thank you for the events of this time, Lord, all pointing to what you have said that will come to pass and things like that, Lord. So we commit the rest of the week to your hand, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Commit that way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall surely bring it to pass.
Amen.
In the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you have asked in my name, say, I will do it. Ask, and it shall be given you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will not withhold anything good from us. Our expectation will not be cut off. I know the thought that I think towards you. Thought of peace, Jeremiah 29, and not of evil, to give you the expected day. In the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we are trusting you, Lord. Supply all our needs, Lord. Lord, make us perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the almighty name of Jesus. Bible says in the book of Acts, they were joyful and so forth, breaking bread from house to house. Bible says eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and they were having favor with all men. So Lord, that we may have favor, Lord, in all our endeavor. In the mighty name of Jesus. Having people before man as we have had people before God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Perfecting that which concerns us, Lord. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:20, the God of peace that brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in sight through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To him be glory, majesty, honor, and dominion throughout all eternity. Father, we also thank you that we are talking to the book of Jude. You will present us faultless before the presence of your glory in the name of, without any fault, with exceeding joy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, I count us worthy and our household, O Lord, because we have to put that in prayer that we escape all these things, O Lord God, as we stand before the Son of Man. Lord, we thank you for hearing us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
And amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.